making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Who win it now?
The microphone explodes, shattering the mold. Need a drop of hits like they like, oh, we'll get the f*** up the combo with the short shot.
Hi, Zoe.
How you doing?
We got a four-hour show.
But God, does it feel like a
right
Friday
now,
or what?
There's 3 minutes and 3 minutes. 3 hours. You would love for there to be 3 minutes left. 3 hours and 57 minutes. Are you going to commit to all
three hours
and 57 minutes?
I will do my best to give you my undivided attention.
For how long? I need 3 hours.
I'm going to attempt it.
And 57 minutes out of you.
About 1:32 when you break. 2 minutes late. 1:32, I'll be done.
So you're checking out at 1:30.
Well, Jim, I mean, that'll be... We kind of do an ending to our program because it's Memorial Day.
Yeah,
Jim will run some old stuff.
Well, we're going to do that at like 1:50, though.
No, it's fake promo Fridays, though.
Right. But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen during the show, is what I'm saying.
We've had some of these Friday memorials. This is the day. This is the ultimate.
Listen.
Look at the moose going down.
See, there it is.
Look at the moose on
it's 3.5 minutes in to the hour. He's screaming at the moose on the television. And
the
he feels
moose, it won't get off.
So feels it's okay to do that today because it's the Friday before Memorial Day.
Get
he feels emboldened.
Get ready for 4 hours of moments like that.
Yeah,
pocket
he feels
full
emboldened
of shells
by the day.
Yeah,
by it being a Friday before a long weekend, and this is the first summer Friday before a long weekend that gets him in this mode. So
because of that, by the way, because of that, and since this is our fourth Friday Memorial Day with this current show that
we've been together that long. Huh?
How about that?
This is our fourth one. We need to do some flashbacks.
I think, all right.
You made it the longest as one of my co-hosts.
That's not true, is it? That can't be true.
Oh, here?
No,
maybe.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
That's true.
But I'm closing in on the record.
This is our ninth one. This is your fourth one, Beal.
I'm like Ripken chasing Gehrig. You know?
Now they got baby elephants on.
Well, Tangway was here for one of them, right?
No.
He didn't make it to the first one.
He didn't even make it to Memorial Day.
Oh, he didn't even make it. Isn't that
Jesus
sad?
Christmas.
That sad sack, Gary Tangway. Couldn't even make it to the first Memorial Day.
But Tom was bouncing around the folders from the last few years and found some funny things that we should
Well, I'll tell you what. Going back over the last few years on Memorial Day, the four that we've done, we haven't had a team to talk about other than the Red Sox. I mean, this is regular season. I'm talking about playoff games.
Last year, the Celtics were eliminated the night before, I think.
They were. They were done right before it.
I think we started the show talking about them being eliminated, I
believe. Yeah, we're going into this weekend with them having games remaining.
Wow.
And, hey, you win one this weekend, and you're going to have many more games remaining over the next couple of weeks.
We were talking about OTAs a couple of years ago, though. We have some hot takes on OTAs that we got to play from a couple of years ago.
What do you think, so? You still confident that the Celtics close it out tonight?
I am. Yeah, I am.
I just feel that way.
Yeah, you're starting Baines tonight.
I don't know how you can feel that way.
I think that's what I'm thinking today. Wake up today and you say, boy, tonight's the night the Celtics close them out on
Wait a second. You finish that thought because you're starting Baines. You're going to be able to, get a win in Cleveland?
No, he's going to do what he did last game, and he'll have a better chance to adjust. I think we've totally came to the assumption that Tyronn Lue is a complete idiot and doesn't know what he's doing. Who called him a good coach? Was it Grandy that told us? Oh, I like him. I think he's a good coach. In what way? What do you do? What do you do and what do you do well?
Yeah, but this series was never going to come down to the coaching of Ty Lue. It has impacted the series in that he's a bozo and has helped the Celtics at times along the way, like Kyle Korver not getting into the game in game five.
But that's why I think they win tonight, because of Stevens.
Yeah, maybe. But they have not played well. The reason why they lost out there has been their young players not being able to handle the environment. They haven't. They shoot poorly on the road. They don't handle the situation well. They clearly were rattled by it in the first two games out there in Cleveland. They don't handle it well.
They shot poorly at home the other night and still won.
They would have to have a really big turnaround from where they were in games 3 and 4 to go out there and win that game tonight. I'm sorry, they would have to.
Yeah. Here's how they win that game tonight. If LeBron James...
Quits.
Tired.
No. Tired won't do it. Doesn't care. Quits. That's how the Celtics win this game tonight.
Won't we know in the first 5 minutes whether they're playing with desperation or not?
The Cavaliers?
We're going to know in the first five minutes. Are they playing with desperation?
We say this all the time. Can we give it the first quarter?
They don't have to play with desperation, though, Jim.
Yeah, they do. To win the game, they do, because they played with that desperation in games 3 and 4.
What gives you the impression of desperation?
They're diving for loose balls. They're playing hard defense. They're getting in guys' face.
Transition.
They're actually, like,
they're moving.
Engaged in the game. Yeah.
But the Celtics missed layups and dunks.
See, I feel better about game four.
How does that translate? I mean,
but they weren't uncontested dunks, though. They weren't uncontested layups.
Some of them were.
They were contesting them.
Some of them were.
Some were wide-ass open.
Yeah, a couple of them were.
Well, it was more
not
than
all
couple.
15 of them.
Like, it was like seven. It was something. It was absurd.
All right, so let's say half of them were contested. The other half were ones that the Celtics just missed that they could have put points on the board and made that much more of a ball game. Mm. So some of it is them coming out and playing hard and with intensity. Okay? I like intensity better than desperation. I don't think we need to see the Cavaliers out there running around like their hair's on fire in the first 5 minutes to know whether or not they're going to, you know, win that game and be engaged for the full 48 tonight. But it comes down to the best. Once again, it's going to come down to, like it did last year, like it did the previous postseason, the best basketball player on the planet and whether or not he still decides he wants to win. Is he still interested in winning a game for the Cavaliers on home court and going on to the NBA Finals? And if he stays engaged and he's interested, then the Cavaliers will win that game tonight. And then I say it's a total toss-up for Game 7 back in Boston. I don't automatically pick the Celtics. You got to give them an edge because how they played on home court this year, but you got to give the Cavaliers just as much chance because LeBron will still be playing. But tonight, it's going to require LeBron James to check out of that game.
I've said over and over again that LeBron and the Cavs should want to get to the finals, even if it is the last hurrah and the last go-round.
Even though they know they'd be toast.
And the more chatter you hear is that the chances of LeBron going back to Cleveland are probably better than we had given him credit for. So we'll see how it plays out. But I've said repeatedly that they got to get to the finals and lose. That's a better outcome for them than somehow losing to the Celtics, the undermanned Celtics.
No, I totally agree with that,
in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that if you were buying into that theory that the Cavs just want to, you know, pack up their stuff and go home, they're tired of doing it, and they don't think they're going to win the finals, the Houston Rockets taking a 3-2 lead in the Western Conference last night, and having it be possibly a different team coming out of the West than the Golden State Warriors for LeBron and the Cavs to face again in the finals. I wonder if that at all wakes them up.
Yes, Cleveland.
In that we got to make sure we win this damn thing and get to the finals against the Rockets, because they should feel like they've got a better opportunity against the Rockets than they do the Warriors. They should. They should feel
especially
that way.
Especially with the Chris Paul injury. Chris Paul hurt his hamstring last night.
He hurt last night.
Who knows how bad it is, but
we'll see.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown went through. I mean, we thought he wasn't even going to play.
Could miss a game or two and be completely fine. But we'll see. Listen, they should feel that there's a different opportunity there, even if it is the same. Even if it's just as hard to play the Rockets. It's not the same thing over and over and over again that they've been doing
right for
the last few years. And the one time they did beat them, you know, they needed the suspension. So I think maybe that factors in somehow.
Yeah,
crazy as that seems.
As far as them being beatable. Meaning Golden State.
And I never really bought into the whole the Cavs want to quit and go home thing.
You can't. And that's that whole stupid-ass Brady argument, whether it's good that Tom Brady would lose an AFC championship game as opposed to having a chance to lose another Super Bowl. No, you play to win the damn thing. You play for a title. I'll tell you what, this should wake Cleveland up. It really should.
But so much factors into that. If LeBron is staying in Cleveland, doesn't he want to make his case that he doesn't have enough around him? That the team needs to do more?
Yeah.
That the team needs to make more moves and be more aggressive this offseason? And does he achieve that by going to the finals and losing? What does he want? What does he think is the best outcome to best suit LeBron this coming offseason? Yeah. I think that's fascinating to me.
It's totally, too, because you know, his team's changed. He doesn't have Kyrie this year. You know, Isaiah Thomas never worked out for them. So he sort of put this together to where you're still bringing these veterans in and trying to roll with what you have. If he could go out and score 40 and find a way to get into the finals and then, you know, average mid-30s and have everybody else have no supporting cast whatsoever and they still lose, yeah, he could stay in Cleveland and said, I can't do it all myself. We need to spend more money. We need to figure this damn cap out.
You see any of the finish of that game last night, Jim?
I did not.
Did you see any of that?
No.
Oh, man.
It's hard with the Celtics on every other night.
I know,
it's hard to watch
series,
that every night.
That series has been good, and I've enjoyed it because I've seen Golden State Warriors not play well. That excites me.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Houston.
I find it so easy to root against Golden State when you're watching them. I don't have any hatred for them other than they're good, and you know, I just don't want to see the top team win. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. But watching that series, I've enjoyed moments in that series.
You're starting to come around on what I was saying the other day, and neither one of these teams look unbeatable.
Yes. Yes, but they're both. Yeah. I think they're both much better than what is in the Eastern Conference. I think they're both better teams than the Celtics or the Cavs.
Yeah, but you're not getting your ass swept, I don't think.
They still have better.
Maybe not.
They still have better players, but based on what I've seen in the last two games, I'm not convinced that they have better overall team basketball going on in either Houston or Golden State than what's happening in the East.
Yeah, I want to give you a mind-blowing stat about Steph Curry, if you don't mind.
Ooh.
I saw this. It's not my work, not my handiwork, but the folks at Basketball Reference looked this up, and it's crazy. It's a crazy stat about Steph Curry.
All right.
I'll give you that coming up next, and let's get to your Celtics calls. We got open lines. Your thoughts on Game 6 tonight, 617-779-0985. Oh, and Dustin Pedroia is coming back to the Red Sox.
Oh, a little leader.
We'll get to that coming up in a little bit as well.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed.
10:20 here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. I have to give you this stat. I saw it tweeted out last night by the Twitter account for basketballreference.com. Steph Curry last night took a shot to take the lead within the last 24 seconds of the game. That was the sixth time in his career that he's taken a shot within the last 24 seconds of a game.
What?
The sixth time in his career where he's taken a shot under 24 seconds to play,
yeah,
to take the lead with an opportunity to hit the shot and take the lead.
Okay.
In the last 24, the last shot clock, if you will.
Okay.
He missed it last night.
Right.
He had missed the previous five.
Wow.
He is 0-for-6 lifetime.
Embiid.
Taking a shot in the final 24 seconds.
In what should be the final possession to take the lead.
Right.
Wow.
0-for-6.
Wow. Remember Paul Pierce at the end of games used to get the ball in Paul's hands, clear it out. He'd take it into the lane, get it to the foul line extended,
you know,
get that little fadeaway.
At first I was surprised. I thought, no, that number is absurdly low. How can he have only taken it? The Golden State Warriors don't trail that often.
No.
So I guess it makes sense
that
Steph Curry has only had six opportunities to have the ball in his hand, or six times the ball has ended up in his hand. Final possession with the team down and a chance to take the lead.
Or tied. Down or tied.
Tie or take the lead.
Yeah. Down or tied.
And
taking a shot.
Everyone.
He's missed every single time. I would say that is the opposite of clutch, is it not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that like classic front runner? Yeah, you get up by 20 and you beat the bag out of teams because you're great. No one's denying your skill and your ability. You're a fabulous player. But when it comes to putting it on the line, when it comes to being in the heat of the moment, the most clutch, difficult moments to produce and perform. He's 0-for-6.
You can look at that roster now. You say, put it in Durant's hands.
I don't know that he's going to be much
better. I
know
that, but I mean, like, there you go. I mean, who do you want to have the ball game on the line? Whose hands are you putting it in? You're still going to do a Curry, though, right?
I'd still want to give it to Curry just based on his ability.
It's Kevin Durant. He's shooting over anybody on the floor, no matter who's guarding
him. I don't know. What if you're down three? Well, what if you're down two?
Well, it's different.
I don't care if you're down three. Yeah. Kevin Durant's a good three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And he can shoot over seven-footers if you need him to.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Trevor is in the car. Trevor.
Hey, boys. Happy Friday.
Hey, Trevor.
I think I'm with Zoe here. I think the Celtics are in a good spot tonight. But I think it's all about how they start. They started so bad in Cleveland those two games. It's got to be a focus for Stevens. And, you know, I feel like, I don't know, it seems different this year. LeBron's had, by his standards, two pretty bad games. And I just, if Celtics get off to a good lead and they're hitting their outside shots, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see passive LeBron show up because, you know, you had a coach who had to step away from the team this year. They flipped their roster, you know, at the break. It just seems different than the years past where he was this unstoppable force and he just pretty much just stomped on us. It doesn't have the same feeling this series this year.
Maybe not, and I think the supporting cast is definitely a part of that. Okay, let's not forget that. He is still one man. Despite being the best player on the face of the planet Earth, he is one man. He did not play well in the previous game. He obviously was tired, or he was quitting. One of the two. Something was wrong. That's obviously what we all watched tonight, right out of the gate. What's LeBron tonight? I also, to go back to the Ty Lue point from last segment, so he didn't play Kyle Korver in Game 5 as soon as he should have. Are we going to see Kyle Korver get a million minutes tonight to make up for it?
Totally.
Which can hurt the Celtics because he can shoot, but he is terrible defensively, which will help the Celtics on the other end of the floor.
Stevens should start Ojale.
Oh my God.
And then have Baines be ready to check in at the first whistle.
Yes.
Just look down the line there and smile.
Did this throw you for a loop? Lou?
We know what to do.
That's something I want to know. How many minutes does Kyle Korver get tonight to make up for the lack thereof in Game 5? Jake is in Framingham. Hey, Jake.
How's it going, guys?
Hi.
Love the show. Hey. Just like a quick response to that. I think Brad Stevens made a great call in starting Baines last game. I think he made a huge difference on the boards, like on the defensive end, kind of stopped them from gaining momentum at the beginning of the game. But the reason I call is because I just have a big problem with Marcus Smart shooting threes when we have momentum, we have the lead. I think he should kind of be more of a playmaker on the offensive end and stop hucking up threes that we don't really need at the time. Just wanted your take on that.
Well, Jake, you know that's not new for him.
How many calls have we taken post-Celtic games?
Yeah, but it's been all season. I mean, you could call it's been his whole
it's
career.
Been his whole career here.
You could call us at any point in time and say Marcus Smart should stop jacking dumb threes.
We could pick out a time in a game. Remember that one dumb three he took with nobody around
Jake,
him?
Jake, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to stop because we have talked to Brad Stevens about it in the past, and we have asked Brad Stevens specifically about Marcus Smart taking threes, and he has told us consistently, Marcus has open looks. I want Marcus taking his shots. So it's not going away.
Yeah.
If he has open looks, he will be taking that three. Just get used to it.
Nothing you can do.
You can go crazy about it. You can get mad about it, which, well within your rights.
It's nice he has all those other traits,
though. Call us and complain
about
it. I'm just telling you, it ain't changing.
It would change if he didn't bring everything else he brings to the table. Energy, you know, defensive toughness, grit, diving for balls. That you put up with all that crap. We can sit here every day after a Celtic game, people call him bitch. Marcus Smart shooting too much. How many times on our text chain? What
all
the
year.
Hell are you doing?
All season.
Why is he shooting?
All season. All time for him taking these shots. It's not changing.
Him or Morris?
You would like for him to be more selective. You would like for him to try and drive with the basketball. It's just not going to happen. Right. Not gonna be the case. Sean is in the car today. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
So, if there's one guy who needs to step up tonight offensively, I mean, I think it's got to be Horford on the road. It's time for him. They've shown that when they take bad shots to start the game, they get down, and then they're out of position on defense. Cleveland gets going. You know, Cleveland's a front-running team. I'm one of the Illuminati members who thinks that LeBron was letting one go in 5 to save up for tonight. So you know they're going to bring it, and I think you're going to get what you get out of Tatum. But I'm all set with seeing Terry Rozier jacking threes and seeing Jaylen Brown run the ball into three guys looking for a whistle that never comes.
Okay, all set with that. What's wrong with Brown looking for fouls? There were times he should have been cooked. There should have been whistles on plays that he had in Game 5, the same way there should have been calls on some of LeBron's.
Yeah, didn't we say this going in, too, that you're not going to get the calls? You're not going to
get
the calls?
Well, they let him play. I mean, they did. The whistles were not as abundant in Game 5. I'll take that both ways, though. I'll take that trade off. LeBron goes into the paint, doesn't get the fouls, and then on the other end, Jaylen Brown's not getting them? Sure, no problem. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I'd make that trade any day of the week.
Yeah, he says Al Horford's got to be the difference tonight. I think it's a guy like Jaylen Brown.
It better not be one of those nights where LeBron gets breathed on and he ends up at the line.
Stupid ass flopping. What is it? Minus seven?
Minus seven.
Minus seven.
Tonight. Minus
That's a massive
seven.
Number. That's a big number. You tried telling me minus three was a huge number in the NBA. Minus seven is
No,
like,
that was Jim. That was not me.
That's pretty good money
Jim
right there.
Jim follows NBA lines more than I do.
I'd take the Celtics in seven.
I think.
No, I just say, you got to think of it differently than like football lines, because football, touchdown, field goals. Well, like,
thanks,
you know.
Jim. Thanks for putting a football term.
Well,
that
no.
My,
he
that was my only thing. That
7 points
that
in a football game is one score.
Yeah, Can I add one thing to the caller that said Brad Stevens made an awesome move to start Baines?
No, he didn't. It was an obvious move. We all said he should have put Baines.
But that means it was a bad move not to do it earlier. And people have overlooked that part.
In games three and four.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Fair point. A brilliant move. Well, wait, it was only brilliant because he hadn't done it in the two games before.
He screwed it up.
And we all said he should do it, and then he did it. So now he's brilliant?
And by the way, if Baines starts tonight, that means Horford has the more pressure on him. I agree with that caller. Because Horford has no excuses to be like, oh, well, I'm starting against Thompson. No. If Baines is starting, then you get the same matchup you had in Game 5.
That's a good point. You get Kevin Love as your matchup. They love going to that matchup.
What was he in
that?
15 and 12? What Horford at? 15?
Yes.
The other night? 12 boards?
Yep.
Good night.
Let's go to Jake in New Bedford, who today, despite him not playing tonight, he's got a thought on Gordon Hayward. I'll hear it. We'll take it. What do you got?
He's looking towards next season, guys. So
already? You got a big game tonight. Chance to go to the finals.
Why do we do this?
I just, it's just because of how good Tatum and Brown have been doing. Like, of course, we should be excited about getting an all-star player back next year, but he's going to take up playing time for these young kids, and I think that, like, both of them
don't know that.
Have potential.
Now
we don't know.
Don't this know coach will find a way to get those kids on the floor with his crew.
Is.
I'm just afraid of that happening, and Terry's going to get less minutes now, too.
No, who cares about that?
Oh, God. Oh, God, not the minutes for Terry Rozier.
Yeah, how was he the other night?
Oh, damn.
How was he the last couple games?
Give me a break. Getting Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back, and you're worried about Terry Rozier's minutes?
Terry Rozier.
Ah, that is the worst. I fear that there are way too many fans that feel exactly the same way about that situation.
If I want Gordon Hayward coming back.
Get out of here.
Take minutes from the kids and Terry Rozier's minutes. Stevens is salivating for him to get
there.
Can't
do that today. Can't. What's wrong with you people?
No more of those calls.
What the hell's wrong with you? It's a problem. It's a problem. Yeah, no, let's trade him, too. Let's start those conversations. Trade Kyrie. Trade Gordon Hayward. Trade them all. And then you'll ensure that a free agent or a star player in a trade will never come to Boston ever again.
Gordon Hayward, I can understand. The guy can't stay healthy. He got hurt 5 minutes into his first game.
He's soft.
Seriously, when's the last time he played? Yeah. When's the last time you saw him on the court? Get rid of him.
Dustin Pedroia back. Speaking of guys who can't stay healthy, Dustin Pedroia makes his return to the... Now, that's legit. That's not made up. Pedroia back to the Red Sox. Where does he fit? Where should they put him?
Second base.
I know he's going to play second base. Where do they put him in the lineup?
That part of it.
In the lineup. Where do you put him in the lineup? Let's get to that. Help us fill out the Red Sox lineup card next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics have a chance to close things out against the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. The Green have a 3-2 series lead. Heading into tonight's Game 6, Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call. Starting with the Mimecast Celtics pregame show, 8 o'clock right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Golden State Warriors are in the same position as the Cavs, down 3-2 after a 98-94 loss in Houston last night. Kevin Durant, how's the confidence level?
Still confident, you know. We had some opportunities to win this game, last two games, and we didn't close it out. But we can learn from it, and, you know, we got another opportunity at home on Saturday. And we'll be ready to play.
All right. As he said, Saturday night, Game 6 in Oakland. Red Sox did not complete the sweep of the Rays last night. They lost 6-3. Rick Porcello lasting just 3 2/3 innings tonight. They begin a homestand against the Atlanta Braves. We're second only to Boston in team batting average of .264. Headlines brought to you by Ace Ticket. They have the best deals on seats with the outstanding customer service you deserve. Visit aceticket.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines, 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's one thing in my life that's missing. It's the time that I spend alone. Sailing down the moonlit, bright, clear water.
Moon, there's the moon again.
It's kind of those friendly people. They're showing me ways to go.
It's gotta be a top five. Top five yacht rock. Low River Band, baby.
Time for cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change. And now that my life...
Okay, I'm going to break that up now, if you don't mind.
Zoe and I were having a moment.
I know
there.
You were. I'm going to break that up if you don't mind.
You're, 3 hours, 22 minutes.
There he goes again.
Counting down the minutes. That's a song right there.
Okay, Dustin Pedroia is back this weekend.
Yay!
For the Red Sox. The Red Sox, through their 50 games to this point,
leader's back.
Have started Eduardo Nunez for 40 games. Brock Holt has started 8. And Lynn has started 2. 50 games. So far this season, the Red Sox, from that position, have produced a .246 average, which would put them 17th in Major League Baseball. Not terrible. Middle of the pack.
The batting averages are out of whack this year. The Diamondbacks are hitting like .215 as a team. Like, they're really low this year.
What? I'm talking positionally, though.
I know, but batting averages in general just seem to be down. Like, I saw the Diamondbacks were hitting .217. I was like, wow, they're in first place. They're hitting .217.
Well, here's what I can tell you. The Red Sox have a lot of room for growth at the position.
Yeah, I know you're reading the numbers, but like, how does it, you know, what are the optics? How do you think it looks?
Do you know who had Do you know who had the highest batting average on the 2017 Red Sox? I mean, come on. Take a stab at it.
Betts.
No. Dustin Pedroia batted .293 last year. Yeah. He led the Red Sox in average. Granted, he only played 105 games. He didn't play a full season. But he led the team in average last year. I had a guy approach me, man on the street, literally man walking down the street, probably a month ago, tell me that, they ought to get rid of Pedroia. And I'm like, what? He's not even close to coming back. What is the point of this conversation? And I think it's sort of the public opinion of Pedroia. It's not good right now. I'm like, what? Yeah, he can't hit anymore. I'm
like, it's almost like people don't want him back.
I look at this guy. Now, obviously, of the baseball generation, as we like to call them, I said he led the team in average last year. Now, I know average is for the younger crowds. They think it's, you know, not as valuable. They think RBI are useless. I said, he led the team in average last year. What? He did? I'm like, yeah, he batted close to .300. I think he
was some old guy from Quincy.
Yeah, he had the best average on the team. I mean, he could still hit. The guy was so mad. He was so pissed that I told him that. That I told him Pedroia had the highest average on the team last season. But he did. So you can expect an offensive boost if Pedroia can come back and hit, which I expect he will be.
Yeah, you get a damn good second baseman. Whether he's lost a step or not, we talked about it. The instincts will carry him.
OPS 642 this season from the position for the Red Sox. That puts them 21st. They've hit a lousy 3 home runs from second base and 13 RBI, which is tied for 27th in the league. The Red Sox get Pedroia back, 34 years old, coming off a knee injury, something that Dave Dombrowski has told us in the past that he is going to deal with for the remainder of his career. He's been dealing with this routinely for the last 2 years. Pedroia obviously telling everybody he's healthy and that he feels the best he's felt in a long time. What does he give you defensively? Hopefully he's still the same guy. Even if he's not, the defense will get better at second base, and offensively, he will give the team more. So the Red Sox are getting an upgrade this weekend at second base. They're getting an in-season upgrade. That means they're going to have an in-season upgrade to their lineup. The question is, where do you put him in the lineup? Where would you put him in the lineup?
Sixth or seventh.
I'd put him number two.
Whoa! You'd put him second.
I'd have him number two in the lineup. Most days. I actually like what Nick Cafardo suggests in his story on the Boston Globe. BostonGlobe.com, or I don't know if it was in the paper or not. I haven't picked up an actual paper in a very long time. He said you'd have a lineup against lefties that would go Betts, Pedroia, Martinez, Ramirez, Benintendi, Bogarts, Devers, Vasquez, Bradley Jr. And then against righties, you would drop down Pedroia, and you'd have Betts, Benintendi, Ramirez, Martinez slash Mitch Moreland, Pedroia, Bogarts, yeah. Devers, the catcher, whoever it might be, and Bradley, which means you flip-flop Pedroia and Benintendi on those days.
Okay.
I don't hate that idea.
I'm fine with that.
I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I don't like that against the Yankees with all his right-handed arms out of the bullpen. A lot of righties in a row there you can match up against.
Jim, worried about the Yankees?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question. How do you approach those particular games? Do you put the emphasis on the starter or the reliever? That's something to think about. It's a good point. Here's what I want to figure out. Hanley Ramirez right now is bad. Really bad.
Hey, what's happened here?
He has fallen off the cliff here in May. He is not having a good May. At what point do they sort of pull the plug on him being an everyday player, considering the contract situation going forward? If the Red Sox are determined to not get him his plate appearances, they certainly don't look like a team because they've had plenty of opportunity and reason to put him on the bench.
Right.
He hasn't hit for the month. He's like, oh, for the month.
It's weird, man, because he got off to such a great start, too, and I give him credit for being sort of the leader on the team. Everybody says, okay, you got Pedroia coming back. He needs to be a leader for young guys, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Hanley Ramirez has seemed to take over the clubhouse. Maybe you just watch him. Just look at his persona. I think he's done great this year, but yeah, he's in a slump now. So it's like, how do you want to keep, you know, Moreland's bat out of it? See, that's part of the problem.
I'm just wondering when they are going to do that, if they're going to do it. Now,
you don't want to get the Jackie Bradley to that stage. You know, they sat him down.
This year, he's actually been better against lefties than he has against righties. Ramirez, against lefties this year, .333. And against righties, .230.
Mm.
Granted, at-bats, very different numbers. But there's got to be a way to get. First of all, you can play Mitch Moreland at first. You can put Martinez in the outfield. This still leaves you with one problem when you do things like this.
It forces Martinez to be an everyday player. Like, all the time. Right?
You can play Benintendi in center. You have some flexibility here. The problem is getting both Jackie Bradley Jr. out of the lineup and Ramirez out of the lineup until he gets going.
It's hard to take that bat out, though. Even though he's in his bad slump, his bat, his
power. Well, I think it just raises a bigger question. Is he going to be a guy who gets to play every day because he's considered an everyday player, or do the Red Sox want to put him on the bench because they don't want him to get the plate appearances? So far, they have not indicated that they're dead set on him not reaching his plate appearances, and that maybe the only way he's going to not get him is if he's hurt. 617-779-0988. Your thoughts on the return of Dustin Pedroia. Your thoughts on how the Red Sox should handle their lineup. And we'll get your calls on both that and the Celtics coming up next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lionel Richie. Is this a yacht rock song?
Sure is. Feels that way to me.
I mean, I like the song.
Dustin Pedroia coming back means the Red Sox need to make a roster move before he does. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Brock Holt is going to get optioned, or I think they're going to trade Blake Swihart and they're going to get a deal done. That's what I think are the two most likely moves. They will figure out a trade for Swihart, or they will send Brock Holt temporarily to Pawtucket to buy themselves some time. Trade option. The other options could include, but are unlikely, they could option Jackie Bradley Jr. It there are indications that they won't do that.
I don't think that would happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that. And Alex Cora has actually said that's not going to happen.
What about the versatility of a guy like Holt, though? You know, in case somebody goes down for a stretch, a week or two. Or say you go on a 10-day deal.
What do you mean?
Like third base, say it's second. You know,
you're getting rid of Holt, you're just optioning him.
Right. But I'm like, wouldn't you want him there to have?
Yeah, if someone gets hurt, you bring him back, and you've bought yourself more time.
I guess so. I'm saying in-game. You're basically say that happens.
Nunez can play third.
But yeah, but that's a tap dance, temporarily, is what that is.
The Swihart one seems most
You know, you
logical.
Mentioned Nunez. You could also put a player potentially on the disabled list. You could find a way to get a guy onto the DL.
Yeah.
Again, that's just buying time. That's not a permanent solution. So they've got to make a move here. They've got to do something to free up the roster spot. There is also this. I'm not familiar with the work of Robert Murray, but he writes for FanRag Sports, which is the same site that John Heyman writes for. He tweeted out about an hour ago. He said, Dustin Pedroia expected to be activated. Speculation to make room has been centered on Blake Swihart. May seem like a long shot, but could it be Hanley Ramirez instead? 0 for his last 21, hitting 175 over his last 15 games. Possible they move on. John Heyman followed that up by retweeting it and adding, this is speculative, and Hanley's overall numbers are close to league average. But Red Sox love Swihart, so this could be a consideration. No response from the Red Sox to inquiries to this point.
Oh. It sounds crazy. It really does. I think you wouldn't have Hanley Ramirez, but the fact they didn't respond to shoot it down? Like, absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
Right. What he's saying is he's checked in with his Red Sox source, and no one's answering him when he asks about Hanley possibly being the odd man out.
When you said Heyman, the first thing I thought was, oh, Swihart's probably a Boris guy, but he's not. So that's good. That's good news for this report. For Heyman, anyways. If Swihart's a Boris guy, you'd kind of take that report with a grain of salt.
Yeah, right. Right.
But he's not.
I find this to be a real long shot. I would be very surprised if that happened. If Hanley was the guy who gets outright released.
That makes no sense. Makes no sense. That dude's power, late in the year. Like Jim said, he's more worried about the lineup at the back end just because of the Yankee bullpen. You're going to need him to beat the Yankees. I don't want Hanley Ramirez to go anywhere. I like the guys that have power.
That would be the ultimate cheapskate move of all time.
Wouldn't it? What? To dump him, to not have to
dump him now him? So that the contract doesn't kick in.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't had a great season. He's had a horrible May.
But to Heyman's point, it's almost at league average.
Yeah, overall he is at 254, not at 175. Not at that. So that's just, that one sort of came out of left field that maybe Hanley's the guy. That's the first I've heard of that. That's the first time I've heard anyone, you know, think of that.
It's not a good month for the TB12 method, huh?
No. Bill is in Amherst today. Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
What's up?
Happy summer 2018.
Yes, sir.
Pedroia's coming back. We talked about the chemistry in every locker room, and I'm wondering, when he comes back, he's going to be the old guy now. Is that going to disrupt anything? Is he going to be ready to take the role? He's never been a leader. You know, he's a ball player. I think that, I don't know, I'm just wondering about that. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, he's been there. It's not like all of a sudden he shows up and, oh, everything's different now. We got different chemistry. He's been around the team. He's been with the team.
Well, I would say the manager's a big part of that. Him and the manager, him and Alex Cora, very close. Kelly Pedroia as well.
And whether you're not, Kelly
Pedroia. They are, you know, they're good friends. They have a different sort of relationship. Pedroia should be happier than he was in recent years. The relationship between John Farrell and Dustin Pedroia was sour. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
It had soured. It was bad.
Wouldn't it be good to have two down the road? Say you're going to have
In that case, I am Team Pedroia.
Yeah. Yeah. Say down the road, Cora's going to need Pedroia to get him some information within. Say there's some issues in the clubhouse. It's like having a second manager in there with him.
Yeah, but I don't think that's really what... Here's the thing. I think that he doesn't need to be a leader. And maybe him not playing every day is sort of help some of those younger guys not think about the older veterans they're playing with and kind of, you know, grow a little bit as players, leaders themselves.
The best thing Pedroia had going for him was the way he played the game, his approach to it, his hustle, that stuff there, the plays he made, just his approach was leadership without being verbal. See, I don't think he wants to be that vocal, verbal leader. The whole Eckersley incident last year, he's the one who was standing there, right? He told you, I'm here. I'm here to answer questions, even though he may have not answered them. Were you part of that group? I'm here to talk. He doesn't want to do that. But I just think his actions, you know, that those are... Drew Bledsoe was one of those type of leaders. Hated talking to the team. Was never a vocal guy. You just try and do it with your actions.
Let's go to Doug, who's in New Hampshire. Hey, Doug.
Guys, how's it going?
Hi.
Happy Friday, as well as Memorial Day weekend.
Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
Listen, guys, I'm calling about these Celtics. I hate these callers that want to get rid of these guys and trade them for so-and-so. And you know, in the last caller there about Terry Rozier losing his minutes.
Right.
Is he not ready for a game six and for a chance to go to the NBA Finals? I mean, come on, these fans are not Celtics fans. They don't bleed green. I hate it. I agree with you guys in these calls. I can't take it. Look what this team has done right now. Imagine you put Haywood and Kyrie in that mix. Unbelievable. That's I can't wait to see that. This team's going to be amazing.
If they don't advance, is it a choke?
I don't think so. If you've watched what this Celtics team has done all year, second in the league with comeback wins, I mean, look what they've done. Look what Kyrie did when he was here. He was a great leader. He played the point very well. Horford, you know, picked it up a little bit more too now. I mean, I love what this team does. The only concern I have with this team in these playoffs right now is their slow starts. They are terrible.
But on them not advancing, or whether you classify it as a, you know, a choke or not, we touched on this yesterday. I'm with you and I'm not. Because you asked me at the beginning of the year after Gordon Hayward gets hurt, and then you tell me you're going to be without Kyrie Irving. You say, would you take it if you could get to Game 7 and lose it, though, but lose it to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers? I tell you, we're crazy at that time. But you readjust expectations as you move on. You know, they had a 2-0 lead in this series. Then it got tied up. Then they took a game lead. Yeah, you may be able to classify that as a choke because you blew two leads in this series. A big one. A two-game lead.
Just going over some of the referee statistics. We're going to get you the ref report coming up for Game 6 tonight. There is another crazy trend that is jumping off the page. Once again, it's such a remarkable trend that I'm thinking the league is taking this into account when they pick these refs.
It's that remarkable.
It's that remarkable.
How remarkable is it? Very.
Don't be a dick. I don't have time for that today. I don't have time for that.
It would make my day today.
What?
The NFLPA sends out tweets, texts every Friday, like quotes from great leaders, this and that. Happy Friday, everyone. Enjoy it. What kind of day are you having? Have a great day if somebody brought us fish and chips for the show. You want to make my day today? Fish and chips, extra tartar sauce.
Someone's been over here talking about it for 30 minutes.
Do you really think someone's going to stop what they're doing on Friday of Memorial Day weekend?
You take Zoe some fish and chips. Yeah.
They can take a swing by, Hardy. There's no traffic.
Yeah.
There's
got to be some local joint.
Jim says that, and I hear Jim wants fish and chips, too.
Oh, I'm just joking. I'm joking about the traffic.
He's joking about the traffic.
Okay.
Saying, oh, yeah, it'd be easy.
Your joke was so bad, Jimmy, nobody even took it as a joke.
I knew what it was. I knew what you meant. Jim's been studying the traffic
patterns. Only if Zoe pays it forward and stops on his way home to get fish and chips for somebody else and bring it there during traffic.
I would do that on the way home. If I was passing
right now,
your
can't
place
leave.
On the way
He's
home.
Stuck here doing a show.
Right.
Hardy has our headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're talking Celtics. We're talking Red Sox. And after these headlines, I'm going to ask Zoe a Patriots question.